Well, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. That's our text this morning. So I need adults to stay tuned as well. I'm going to address you, but this is a message first and foremost for children. This is our text. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This is the last chapter of Ephesians. Believe it or not, we've arrived at the last chapter. I think Paul says it's been, two or 2.5 years in Ephesians or something like that. But we have made it to chapter 6, and it begins addressing children. So we arrive at the nursery this morning. We do children's ministry this morning, although we're going to see that our text today really applies to all of us, wherever we are. And I was just thinking, when we got back, we found out there's two more couples that are expecting. I think I've counted six couples now, if I'm correct, that are expecting. Is that a right number? Cynthia, okay. Someone would correct me if I'm missing a couple. But so, man, we better get our nursery ready again. And maybe we'll talk about a building project, Renee, or something. So, to have more room. This is great, the blessing of children. And children need to hear what the Word of God says as well. This message, though, is for the young and old. If you consider yourself young or whether you consider yourself old, I'll let you determine that. But the great apostle has taken us through a lot of practical section, hasn't he? He took us through the put-offs and the put-on of the Christian life there in Ephesians chapter 4. He's addressed what it means to walk in wisdom, what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's taken us to the family, what a Spirit-filled family looks like. We looked at what a Spirit-filled wife looks like, what a Spirit-filled husband looks like. And now he addresses children, and then we're going to see next time, verse 4, he's going to address parents, and there, specifically, fathers. So we still are in the home right now. But he's been addressing this Christ-like humility, a Christ-like love that should be taking place in relationships within the church itself, in relationships within the home itself, between the husband and the wife, between the parents and the children. We're going to see between masters and slaves, a first century dynamic there we're going to look into in the future. He has said that wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord, a demonstration of their love for their husband and for the Lord. Also, husbands were to sacrificially love their wives, and Christ is the example of that kind of sacrificial love. And, you know, Paul could certainly say a lot more about the home, couldn't he? I mean, there's not a lot here if you look at it, space-wise. He could have addressed many other issues within the home. Even back in chapter 4, many of those principles, well, all those principles, really, will apply to the home as well, right? Communication, not letting your anger go down, not letting the sun go down on your anger, forgiveness, kindness, all of these truths apply within the home as well. But our text here, he addresses children, and then he will address parents. Remember, this was to be read aloud to the church. So as the person is reading this letter from Paul, he's addressing different people within the congregation. And I think it's a little bit of a surprise, at least to me, that he addresses children, interestingly. Children may be believers, some may be believers, some may not be believers yet. But he addresses children anyways. And he says, here's what the Word of God says for you, children. So Paul is theological, and Paul is also practical. And Paul is pastoral, and I think even as he's writing this letter, he's thinking about the people within the church at Ephesus. And it's really, I guess, what us preachers are supposed to do. We're supposed to think through the congregation, the ages of people, the kind of work that you have, the problems, the trials that we're aware of that you're going through, thinking about where you are in life and who you are. And the apostle does that. And he thinks through who's going to be there. And here we have this great imperative. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he follows it with honor your father and mother. We're reminded of this, right, in the Ten Commandments. This is the first commandment, he says, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, I didn't time this with our trip. So I'm not coming back from a vacation with family saying, you do what we did. I actually felt conviction looking at this text ahead of time, thinking, have I done what I can to honor my parents in my life? And so it's interesting the timing for us in visiting family. And then this is the next verse in Ephesians, is to obey your parents and is to honor your father and mother. So let me just unpack this a little bit, and then I'm going to give you some practical directions in how to do these things. The apostle presents a straightforward imperative. And what is the command, children? Obey your parents. Yes, this is not only what mom and dad have told you over the years. God has actually said the same thing. So kids, if you were to ask yourself, what does the creator of all things expect in my life while I'm at home? What does the creator of the stars and the mountains and the rivers, all the animals, thinking of the lion or the zebra or the armadillo, we're in Texas, so what does he expect of you? The one who made all things, the one who made you, what does he expect in your life while you are at home under your mom and your dad? And it's a pretty simple thing, isn't it? To obey mom and dad. It's a word from your creator, the one who made you, the one who knew about you even before he created the earth. He knew you and he knew all about you. He knew everything about your life and he made you. And this is what he has told you, is to obey your parents. This is not something that mom and dad made up, you know, which is probably what I thought when I was a kid. Well, this is just what mom and dad say. This is just things that they're doing. They're making our life harder, right? I've been there as well. I know this may be hard for kids to imagine. I was once a kid too. I once struggled to obey. My parents say I was kind of a restless kid when I was very young. I was found myself in the principal's office many times. And that was still when there was a paddle on the wall. I remember one principal. They don't do that anymore. But it seemed to straighten us out pretty quickly. But is this just something mom and dad have said? Why do mom and dad say, well, I need to obey what they tell me? Now, my mom sometimes would say, because I said so. Right? And I found out later, that's a pretty good answer, actually. I didn't like that answer when I was a kid. I want to know, why do I need to do this? Well, why can't I do this? Well, because I said so. And that's good enough. If mom says so, that's good enough. Well, it really is good enough, because God says the same thing, doesn't he? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he doesn't really give us a whole long list of here's all the reasons why I'm saying this. But it's a command from the Lord himself. Children, kids, I would include teens here. You're still under your parents' authority. You're still there at home. Honor your parents, the text says, by obeying them. And it's a word from the Lord himself. And God, for those of us who are Christians, God is our Father. And so our Father here is issuing a command for all of us to hear and all of us to submit to. And parents need to be aware of this command as well. This is what you're to teach your children, is to obey you as well. God is the Father over all of us. And what he says goes. You know, God the Father runs the universe. He runs everything. And so he can say whatever he wants to say, right? He runs the operation. What he says goes. But God is good, isn't he? We're going to see this morning that God is very good. He's very gracious. He's very loving. For even in his commands, there are blessings to be found in the commands of God. There's even reasons he does give. We're going to see incentives, motivations to obey your parents or to honor your parents. And I love that about the Lord. You know, the Lord could just say, do this, and that's enough. But he often gives more reasons. I was thinking this morning of Proverbs chapter 3. You kind of have a string of these incentives, these rewards in Proverbs 3, in chapter 3, verse 1, do not forget my teaching. This is Solomon's a father, and you could say that Proverbs is like a parenting manual, how to live life, how to be prepared for life. And he's teaching his son here, here's how you do things. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for why does he say? Length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Well, that's a pretty good reward. That's a good incentive. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Things will go better for you. Trust in the Lord. You know this verse, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. These are great motivations to trust the Lord, aren't they? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Actually, to walk in the fear of the Lord is to benefit your own body. Very interesting. I wonder how many problems would be solved simply if people walked in the fear of the Lord. Healing to your body. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. So Proverbs is filled with showing, here's what you need to do. Here's the wisdom of life, but here are the benefits. Here are the benefits to living in the fear of the Lord. It does the body good, like the old milk commercial, right? People debate now if you should even drink milk, but it used to be milk does a body good. Proverbs 3 says, the fear of the Lord does a body good. It does a life good. It preserves your life. And back here in Ephesians 6, this is very much the language that the Apostle Paul is using. There are rewards, there are incentives here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then honor your father and mother. And he says this commandment has a promise, doesn't it? That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. These are incentives to living a righteous life. And that's kind of what parenting does, right? Sometimes as parents, we give reasons to obey. You'll avoid this problem, or you may get this or earn this. Maybe there's rewards and incentives. Those aren't a wrong thing. Now, parents, we don't want to have everything be a reward system, right? We want our children to do what's right because it's right, as we're going to see, because, as Paul says, this is right. And yet there are incentives as well. Turn the light off in your room when you leave your room, kids, because it saves dad money. Okay, that's an incentive for dads. And not so much for kids. I was really bad at turning the light off, and I had to go back many times to my room to do that. Some of you have been there before as well, right? Maybe it is. Make your beds consistently. Turn your light off. Do your chores. And maybe at the end of the week, you can have ice cream on Friday. I mean, maybe there are some of those kinds of incentives. And you think, yeah, I need to really be on top of things. That doesn't always happen, does it? And that's not really always the reason that we should be doing our obedience, as we'll see. But sometimes God does provide motivations for godly living. Children should do what mom and dad say because mom and dad say to do that, right? Because you want to honor them. We won't find ice cream here in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, or rewards for these kind of things, maybe in exactly the way we want them. But let's look at what it says. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? This is right. This is a proper, appropriate, natural thing to do, is what Paul says. He's saying, children, this is the right, proper thing for you in the home to be doing. This is what's supposed to be expected of children. It's the right thing for you to do. And children, our world is messed up. It's all backwards. It's confused even more now than it ever has been, it seems. We're confused on the most basic issues of life. And a lot of this world is not right. And a lot of people aren't doing what is right. But here, children, you can do what's right. you can begin doing what's right within the home at a young age. And that's a great thing, and it's what pleases God. And that's really the ultimate point. It's not even ultimately pleasing mom and dad, but pleasing God, the one who made you, the one who gave you this command. God says, this is right. This is good. This is the way it should be. Children should be at home obeying their parents. Thinking again, even in 2 Timothy 3, just comes to mind, verse 2. It says, in the end times, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. You know, what exactly characterizes the last days, the end times? You have people doing what's right in their own eyes, right? Kind of the message of Judges. And you see that today. But in a list there in 2 Timothy 3, Paul says even being disobedient to their parents. And I really think we see that in our culture, don't we? I think we see it even more so, exponentially, a kind of rebellion in the younger cultures and the younger generations. But children, you can do what's right. You know, and it feels good to do the right thing, doesn't it? It feels good to obey mom and to obey dad and to do what pleases the Lord. So obey your parents in the Lord. It's a simple instruction this morning. Let's continue, though. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, he says. This is the first commandment with a promise. I think that should get the attention of children. There's a promise here. There's something really good that can take place. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I find this fascinating that the apostle, and this is the New Testament, but he quotes an Old Testament command, doesn't he? He quotes the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, just like that. There's no discussion of, well, are we still under the Old Covenant, under the Old Law? Well, where does that fit in? Here's a principle that remains. Whatever view you take of the Old Testament and the Christian, and the Old Testament law and the Mosaic Covenant, here's a principle that remains, and Paul transfers it, and he says, to honor your father and mother. It's part of those original commands. And everything there in the Ten Commandments, everything that follows kind of flows out of those Ten Commandments. If you read after Exodus chapter 20, you see command after command after command, lots of specific commands and stipulations, and those things are flowing out of those ten there in the Decalogue. And so we have this command and a promise to honor your father and mother, and it's the first command with a promise. Now, we should obey God because he tells us to do something. It's kind of like the example of prayer, right? Well, what's in it for me when it comes to prayer? Well, first of all, as Martin Luther said, the greatest reason we should pray is because God commands us to pray. Pray anyways if he tells us to pray. But are there benefits in praying? There are certainly benefits in praying, many benefits in praying, not just for ourselves, but for others that we pray for. And so we should obey the Lord simply because he commands it. But he gives graciously some reasons to obey. Because as you get older, it will go well with you, Paul says. Kind of a Proverbs language, right? If you do the right thing in your life, then things are going to go better for you generally. We know that's to be true. And he says here, you'll live a better life. You'll live long in the land. Now, the land, friends, is not Texas. This is the land for you. That was the land of Israel back then. Now, I was reading some commentators, and they're right. Back in Israel, if you had a rebellious children who cursed their parents and were continually rebellious, you would be executed. I mean, that really reshapes children's ministry, doesn't it? All the kids are great now, and they come to church with big smiles on their faces. It's fantastic. But think about it for a moment. We don't understand that kind of world. Some of the children in the school I grew up with that were so rebellious, they had to take them out of the school system and put them in a special school we called A school. You know, would they still be around? It's a very different world back then, and we don't have that kind of world now. So literally back then, if you are obedient, yeah, you're going to live longer. You're going to actually live your life. But there's a more to it than simply that. Again, this idea is a Proverbs general truth that if you obey your parents early on, the general truth, there are exceptions, the general truth is you're going to live a lot longer life and a lot better life. That's what the promise is all about there in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 12, and Deuteronomy 16 repeats that command and that promise there, there in Deuteronomy 5. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get the promised land, okay, right? I always say that Texas is the promised land. I don't know, it's close to, it's too hot probably to be the promised land exactly. But the truth still applies, children. If you start now obeying your mom, obeying your dad, and wanting to do that, there's a promise here that generally for most children, you're going to have a better life. Things are going to go better for you. Why is that the case? Because when you're a child and you start obeying your parents, you begin to respect authority in your life. You begin to handle authority in a right way, as Paul says, right, in a way that pleases God. You begin to make good decisions early on when you're at home. You begin to discipline yourself to do things that you don't always want to do. Again, I've been there. I didn't always want to obey my mom and my dad. But you begin to discipline yourself to do the very things that maybe you don't always want to do. You begin to be responsible at home. You begin to make good decisions. And those things set you up to do all of that later in life when you leave home. And then now you have a better respect for authority. You know how to treat people. You know how to make better decisions. You know how to discipline yourself to get up and go to work when you don't always feel like it. You begin to implement those kinds of principles when you are young. You create good habits of life. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. We'll look at Proverbs a number of times here, both this morning and also when addressing parents. Proverbs chapter 4, and side note for you, especially for you teens, Proverbs is a great book to read and to study before you leave home. Proverbs 4, verse 10, "Hear, my son, and accept my words. Notice that the years of your life may be many." There's that same idea, right, that we find in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Ephesians. Accept the words of your dad. Accept the words of your mom would be implied here. That you'll live a longer life. Proverbs chapter 10. And I'm just highlighting a few here. Proverbs 10, verse 27. Here's the principle of the fear of the Lord. "The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short," or will be cut short, right? If you generally live in the fear of the Lord, you're going to have a longer, safer life. In fact, Solomon begins that note in Proverbs chapter 1 when he says, "Okay, young man, when there are people saying, 'Come with us, come with us, we're going to do evil, why don't you join us?'" I mean, it sounds like high school, doesn't it, a little bit? You know, this group's up to no good, and they want you to join them. And Solomon says, don't listen to them. Don't go that way. Go the way of the Lord. Go the righteous way. The fear of the Lord, it prolongs your life. It protects you. You stay out of a lot of trouble. Or Proverbs chapter 30, towards the end. Proverbs 30, this will really wake up the children. Verse 17. Maybe mom's hoping I read this verse. "The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." Wow. Again, there's an incentive to obey, right? We have a lot of vultures in this area, I've noticed recently since I was thinking about this verse. They're always above us. The eye that mocks a father, or again, you know, we have this parallel idea, the eye that scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens. The end will not be good, will it? There's a healthy fear here that Solomon's trying to implement in his son. I mean, he had two sons, right? Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And one of them didn't listen to a lot of wisdom from his counsel. But here, there's a healthy fear that should shape a child or a young person. And it's a reason to obey, isn't it? That's what Proverbs is about, guarding you from danger in the future, guarding you from the wrong decisions that can lead to disaster. And no, it may not be vultures are chasing you. That could be the end. But things don't go well when you don't live in the fear of the Lord. And children, things won't go well if right now you choose to dishonor your father and your mother. Now, let's return to Ephesians. And yes, I don't have an outline yet. I have an outline in a minute. But along with this general command here and promise about living long in the land is actually a principle embedded in verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Within this verse is a general principle and command for all authority in your life. The Westminster Confession sees a number of applications derived from this command. It says, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as, by God's ordinance, are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. In other words, there's a principle here, isn't there? Not just about submitting to your parents and honoring your parents, but submitting to any authority in your life. Again, if a child begins to submit to their parents willingly and honors their parents, they begin to make good decisions that will help them to submit to authority later in life. Marshall Siegel writes this, according to Westminster, embedded in the command, honor your father and mother, is a principle that extends into all of life as we grow and mature. In other words, honor anyone God has placed over you. The principle holds in the New Testament. The honor we show to our parents, Christian wives show to husbands in marriage, congregants to pastors in our churches, citizens to the rulers and authorities. Most broadly, the Apostle Peter charges us, honor everyone, 1 Peter 2:17. Right? God knows what he's doing. There's a lot of wisdom here in this command. So children, do you want a really good life? Do you want to live and enjoy a good life? Well, where does it begin? It begins right here in obeying your mom and your dad. Does that mean you're going to live forever? No. I had a great grandmother who lived to be 102. It wasn't the bartender. But and maybe there's a reason. But and she was a godly Christian woman. Even at 102, she was talking about the Lord. And does that mean all of us are going to live to be 100? No. Ecclesiastes tells us there's exceptions. There's the exception where the righteous's lives are cut short and the wicked live a long, prosperous life. There are exceptions in this world, isn't there? But generally, these are true, aren't they? And it's a great incentive to obey your parents. You know, God wants the best for you. And he's gracious to present this command here and to honor your father and mother. Well, I'm not done yet. What I'd like to do is get more practical with you. You have the simple, straightforward commands, right? Obey your parents, children, and honor your father and mother, which is really a command for all of us, isn't it? Even once you leave home, you are to seek to honor your father and mother. I would include step-parents in that, blended families. That's another discussion. But honoring those parents in your life. But how do we do that? You know, I like to ask the question, how? What does it look like? Because I know if I don't think through that myself, I'm probably not going to do a great job of fulfilling this. So I want to address children first, and then I want to address the rest of you who are no longer children living at home, that you've moved on. And I want to ask the question, how can I honor my parents? And I want to give four practical ways that you can do this. First, as children in the home. And then second, as adults who no longer, maybe you still live in the home, maybe you don't, but you're older, you're independent, how do you honor your parents later in life? The first is, how do I honor my parents while I'm still at home as a child? And I'll give you four key words. Hopefully you can help you remember these things. The first is, listen. Listen. I was really hoping for amens there, right? Listen to your parents. When God made us, he gave us one mouth and two ears, didn't he? Right? Has your mom ever told you that? He wants you to learn. He wants you to listen carefully to your parents. And for teenagers, we won't call you children. You're teenagers. You're basically young adults, but you're not out of the home yet. You're still under the authority of your parents. That is the most important time to listen, right? And to ask questions, to listen and learn from your parents. God doesn't call you to always agree with them, though. You might not always agree with them. That's okay. But you need to listen to them and respect their authority and honor them by listening to them. And listen to them with a heart that wants to learn, that wants to grow. You need a lot of instruction, especially in your later teen years. You really do. You know, if you kind of have a graph and you look at it, when a child is really, really young, they're a toddler, there's not a lot of instruction. It's goo goo gaga. You know, and maybe there's a little instruction there. They can actually understand things usually we think they can. But there's more the physical kind of discipline side of correction and physically protecting them. And as they get older, your verbal instruction increases, doesn't it? More and more and more. More and more conversations. More and more instruction, okay? And then the physical discipline isn't there, but the verbal instruction is. Now, teens, you need to be ready for that, right? I've had to tell some of my older kids, you're going to get a lot of instruction when you're at home. You're going to have a lot of correction. And it's not always pleasant. And by the way, when you get older, you still receive a lot of correction. None of us are negated from that reality, right? That we receive correction in life. How you handle it now sets you up to handle it better when you get older and you leave home. And I want to encourage the teens in particular. Sometimes it's discouraging because you think you're just making a lot of mistakes. Like, you're just getting a lot of correction. And maybe you are. Maybe you're receiving a lot of correction. But you know what? That's okay. You know, we've all been there. There's a lot to learn and grow. Mom and dad have a lot of wisdom to give you. Receive the correction. Know that they love you and they're doing it because they love you. Listen and learn. And realize mom and dad do have more wisdom than you. So listen and take notes. Be challenged. Be shaped. Grow. Become a better person by doing it. And ultimately, honor and glorify the Lord who made you by listening to them. Secondly, children, is the word please. Please your parents. Seek to please them. Seek to make them happy. That's a biblical idea. And going back here to verse 1, notice, obey your parents in the Lord, Paul says. And it's a little bit debated what he means. I don't think this means the child has to be a Christian or the parent has to be a Christian for this to happen. But the idea, I believe, is more of the heart attitude. Because later he'll say, slaves, obey your masters in everything and be well-pleasing in the sight of God. There's this idea of a heart that wants to submit, a heart that wants to obey. You have to remember that God is not interested in you just externally obeying, is he? He's not just interested in you, okay, you did your chores and you did your homework and all that kind of stuff. He wants you to want to obey, right? He wants you to want to please your parents and to honor them. That's really what he desires in your heart. He is very interested in your heart. And again, this can be difficult to do. But the Lord can give you strength to do this, to seek to honor them, to seek to please them. And children, ultimately, in seeking to please your parents, who do you please in the end? The Lord himself, right? Even if you think you're doing the right thing, maybe mom and dad aren't pleased. Your ultimate goal is to please God who created you. Obey your parents in the Lord. Go back to Proverbs chapter 10. The book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 1. This is kind of the beginning of that section of Proverbs where they give you all the individual Proverbs. I do think there is an organization of Proverbs chapters 10 through 31. It might not seem so organized, but notice the very first verse of the collection of Solomon's Proverbs in chapter 10, verse 1. What does it address? Children, right? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Proverbs are created to stick into your mind. They're like, I call them proverbial post-it notes. You know, they kind of stick in there, and they're supposed to stay in there, and you're supposed to think about them. A wise son does what to his father? He makes him happy, right? Makes him glad. But a foolish son does what to his mother? Which is also true to his father. Brings sorrow, makes them sad. Again, children, seek to please your parents. Proverbs 17 and verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. There's that same idea there. And just the opposite is true, though. A good son, one that seeks to please his father, brings great joy to his father. A son who seeks to please and honor his mother brings great joy to his mother. That's a great thing. And that's what the biblical idea here. So children, your homework this week is to make mom happy. I remember a pastor telling us that many years ago. Seek to make mom and dad happy this week. Number three, here's the third word, help. This isn't the cry of mom, it might be, but children, help. Help your parents. Help your parents. How do you honor your parents? Help them around the house. Help, especially if your mom's hair's sticking up by the end of the week and her eyes are crossed. Help her. Help your parents out. Help do chores. Help clean the place. Don't wait for her or your dad to say, pick up the toys, pick up the toys. Turn the lights out, right? Dad's kind of a light Nazi. That's because that's what happened to me as a kid. Maybe you clean the litter box out. I know not all this is glorious, but help your parents out. Bring the groceries in. Help bring the groceries in for your mom. Honor your parents by helping them with things around the house. Help your mom by giving her a chance to nap. Okay? There's a practical things you can do. Number four, enjoy. So listen, please, help, and enjoy. Enjoy your parents. Enjoy spending time with your parents. Spend time with them. Children, it may seem ages before you leave the home. I think this is especially true for teenagers, right? By the time you turn a teenager, you're getting really antsy. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm so ready for the world. I need my independence. I can't wait for my license. I can't wait to have my own place. I can decorate however I want. I can have my friends over. We can eat pizza every night, right? I'm waiting for that independence. And then you finally get that independence, and a few years later you go, oh, man. Life is hard. I kind of miss having free rent. I miss there was stuff in the fridge. You know, like, why was I such in a rush to leave home? Now I got to fix my car. Now I got to pay my rent. Now I got to do all this stuff. And maybe I should have enjoyed more of that time at home. Look ahead now, right? They provide for you, they love you, they protect you. Enjoy the time with them. Get to know them, spend time with them, they love you. So kids, listen to your parents, seek to please your parents, seek to help your parents around the house, enjoy being with them. Those are four practical ways that you can seek to honor your parents. But things change, right? As you seek to honor your father and mother, you leave home, maybe you get married. Now, honoring your parents is going to look differently than it did when you were a child in the home. Whether mom and dad of the new marriage think that or not. I know there's also cultural issues. Sometimes when I talk with couples, there's cultural issues that parents and grandparents seek to want things to happen a certain way in a newlywed's home. And you got to follow the biblical principles, right? That's for another discussion, But here, how do you honor your parents? Let me give you four practical ways to honor your parents when you get older. Number one, show appreciation for them. Show appreciation for them. They invested a lot in you over those years, right? I think especially mom. I mean, mom kept you alive. That was a feat in of itself, especially for some of the boys. But they did a lot for you that you probably have forgotten. They did a lot for you never even were aware of. And you kind of learn this more when you become a parent, and you realize, wow, mom and dad did a lot I didn't realize. I didn't realize the extent. They fed you, they clothed you, they protected you. It required a lot of time, attention, effort, energy, caffeine, right? It required a lot. So what should you do? How do you honor them? Show appreciation for them. As simple as pick up the phone and call them. write them a card and thank them, visit them. We just had the privilege of visiting some family. It was a sweet time. Yes, even if they're difficult people. I know these stories. Still show appreciation for them and love them. Be Christ-like to them. Number two, seek their counsel. Seek their counsel. In some way, I'm saying listen to them still. Okay? Even if you're in your 40s and 50s, listen to them. Now, that doesn't mean you do everything they tell you to do. You're no longer a child in the home where you have to obey mom and dad. They may tell you to do certain things. You really need to do it this way. That's the only right way to do it. But you can listen to them, right? You can seek their counsel. You can heed it. You can listen to them. And that shows that you honor them by listening to what they say. Again, it doesn't mean you always agree with them. It doesn't mean that you do what they tell you to do when you're older. But you need to listen to your parents and honor them in that way. Number three, care for them. I know some of you have been in this position recently. Care for your parents, and in particular physically, is a way to honor them. They've made great sacrifices for you. You know, when you were a child, you were dependent entirely. You know, children are completely dependent, aren't they? They need everything. And this is kind of the humbling nature of the earthly life. I've been reading through Ecclesiastes. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're born, you're completely dependent. And if you happen to live a really long life, you're going to become dependent upon people when you get older. And it's a humbling nature of the life we live. So care for your parents, however that may look. Do what you can to take good care of them, helping them with things in their life, taking them to the doctor, fixing something in their house, showing them the love of Christ on practical levels. That's really important, and that's the way to love them as Jesus has loved you. And that really should flow from the gratitude you have for what they did in your life. And just simply because they're your parents, right? Not just because what they did for you, but because they're your parents that the Lord has graciously given you. Here's one more practical way. It's a lot of homework this week, isn't it? Spend time with them. Just spend time with them, right? Kind of like I ended with the children, enjoy your parents. Spend time with your parents. I know that can be tricky. Ours are not close anymore. Some of you may have parents in other states, and that becomes more difficult. But do what you can to spend time with them. Maybe it's just on the phone. We have technology now. You can go on video and see them. You know, you could kind of have Christmas on video. Not quite the same, but you could do those things. I would encourage those of the best of your ability, spend time in person with your parents, especially in those late years, in fellowship with them. I get life is busy, right? Some of us were just talking before the service. Life is busy. They may not live close. It can be hard to do it, but time is going, isn't it? Time is short. Life goes fast. Spend time with them while you can. While they're here, don't add upon the regrets that you could have spent more time with them and you didn't. Spend time with the parents the Lord has given you. I hope those are helpful, little practical ways to honor your father and mother. Show appreciation for them, seek their care for them, and spend time with them. Back in Ephesians, what is the principle? Honor your father and mother. The blessing is it will go well for you. You'll live long in the land of Texas or wherever you live, right? Things will go well. Charles Spurgeon said, "Let us all think who still have parents spared to us, how much we owe to them. And let it be our joy, if we cannot recompense them, at any rate to give them so much of comfort by our conduct as shall show our gratitude." And then he says, "Let them have such joy in us that they may never regret the anxieties of past years, but may have their hearts made to rejoice that they brought into the world such sons and daughters." I think those are beautiful words, right? Let them have such joy, he says, in us, that they may never regret the anxieties of past years. It's a great word from Pastor Charles Spurgeon. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And in doing so, children, in doing so, adults, you please your heavenly Father who gave his only Son for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your commands. We thank you for your sweet promises that you give us, these incentives to obey you. It just shows that you are a good, kind, gracious God. Lord, we want to thank you for the parents that you've given us. Maybe they're no longer here, and we want to still thank you for them. Thank you for their love, the way they took care of us, the sacrifices they made, so many things we're not even aware of. And we want to give you the thanksgiving for them. And Lord, for those who are still here, Lord, let us seize the time for your glory. And if we can show our gratitude to them, if we can take care of them in some way, oh Lord, would you give us speed to do that? And for those young ones here, children, teenagers, would you help them now to be making good, godly decisions, to obey and to honor their parents? And Lord, would you help them to come to know you more than anything, that they may know Christ and him crucified? We pray in your